Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you can stand, would you please? Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for being a great God, for being so awesome, being so mighty. God, as we this morning, thank you for being the only true and living God. Give us the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. We say thank you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary for our sins and our iniquities and all our faults and our hiccups and our mess ups. Thank God for that. For grace that is sufficient to keep us from falling. Thank you, God, that you yet woke us up this morning. Thank you, God, that you saw fit to say, arise out of our beds. God, we say thank you. We say thank you. Because, God, without you, we can't make it. Without you, God, we won't make it. And we thank you for being in our lives this morning. We thank you, oh God, that you saw fit not break our family circle. We thank you, God, that we can move our hands, that we can say hallelujah, that we can say thank you, Jesus, that we can move our knees, hips, and our legs, and our backs, and our hands, because God, if it was not for you, where would we be today? We say thank you. And Father God, as I come before you as a servant, I pray, step before your people this morning, I pray that they'll not hear me, but hear you. Open the hearts and the minds of your people and the ears to receive what the Spirit is going to say to the church. Lord, let us be on the frequency. Let us be ready and willing that will minister this morning to each and every one of us will fall and produce fruit in every season of our life. You, that we can impact and an impactor for you, mighty God. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you meet every need of your people this morning through this word. That as you speak to each and every one corporately and individually, we will say thank you for that word. We will say thank you for speaking to me, oh God, that you have not forgotten about me because you know my name. You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm dealing with. You know the price that I'm paying. You know the struggle. You know the tribulation. You know the pain. You know the everything, God. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you in advance. In advance, God. We're giving you a thank you in advance because we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can even ask or even think. And we know that you're well able because nothing is impossible for our God. All things are possible if we will just believe. Lord, I pray that you help our unbelief, that we will believe and trust in your word, that it will do just that what it said. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter for me. We're going to read from the 15th verse through the 20th verse. I will be reading the NIV version. I know a lot of people may have the King James or the other version. First, I want to give honor to God, and I want to give honor to our bishop and first lady in her absence for giving me the opportunity to minister before you. I never take it lightly when I am asked to share a word to God's people. I seek God. I pray. I fast, and I ask God, is this it? Because we all need a word from the Lord. We all need a word. If you got it, please say amen. We're going to read from the 15th verse through the 20th verse. NIV. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. And then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turn away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship him, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. And God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Let me read that again, because that's my key verse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord your God, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the reading of the word of the Lord. The title of this word this morning is Choices. And I would adhere you to get a pen or paper or get into your note part of your phone, because I'm going to give you some nuggets that is going to be beneficial. Even our young people, I am going to share you with something. While I was going to college, I was in a class, and there's this book that I read, and this book gave this particular quotation. I'm going to give it to you now. Choice or choices leads to decision, and decision leads to consequences. Let me say that again. Choice or choices lead to decision. Decision leads to consequences. And I'm going to add my part to that. Consequences leads to us not, a lot of time, the choices we make, we are not able to handle the consequences or the of the choices we make today. Because a lot of times we don't think, we don't assess, and we don't look at the decision we make now that oftentimes causes us to be in the situation that we are right now. A lot of us, if we really want to be honest, if God gives us the ability to go back and to retrack our lives concerning our decisions, all of us would say I would make a different choice. We would have done some things differently. Oftentimes we say, if I knew what I knew now, I would have done that. Or I would have done it differently. But thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for his love. Thank God for the blood. Thank God that when he sees us, all he sees is Jesus Christ. That he still, even when we choose wrong, he can turn it around and make it right. What seems bad to you can be turned around to work in your favor. That's why the word of God said all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because if we really would be honest, a lot of the decision that we have made, if God did not intervene, oh my God, where would we be today? If God didn't do some roadblocks, if God didn't shut some doors, if God didn't turn you away, if God didn't upset your spirit, where would we be? I thank God for it. his provision and his guidance. Because time after time, we all make bad choices. We all make bad decisions. We all have experienced consequences for our repercussion that we cannot handle. But thank God. Thank God. Life is full of many choices. There is a right path we can take, but there is also a wrong path too. Our desire leads us to make choices that result in consequences that can either be good or it can be bad. The definition of choice is the power or the opportunity to choosing, the voluntary act of selecting or separating between two or more preferences. Decision, the act of making up your mind about something. Consequence, that which follows from an act, cause, principle, or series of action, an event or effect produced by some preceding act or cause. The Bible is the word of God given to us for our learning so that we can make choices and avoid bad consequences so that we can enjoy the blessings and the fellowship of God. As believers, there are two main choices, trusting Christ as our Savior and learning to become more like him and let the leading of the Holy Spirit empower us to who God wants us to be. Both have eternal consequences. Therefore, we must remember that every choice has a consequence. Many times we are not able to handle the consequences of the choices we make today. Look at Abraham. Abraham made the choice to follow Christ and to walk with Christ, even though he didn't know who he was and what was going to happen to him. Abraham left his familiarity. Abraham left his family. He left his gods and followed Christ, going all the way into a desert, going into a place that he never knew that if, because he was obedient, God blessed him. He became the father of many nations. God used his obedience to bless him. How many of us are willing to let God use our obedience to bless us? Abraham could have said, I don't even know what type of God you are. I didn't even know who you are. Abraham could have said, do I really have to leave my family? But brothers and sisters, I am going to tell you something. Sometimes you are going to have to leave the familiarity. You're going to have to leave the comfortability of people, places, families, and situation. Sometimes you even got to leave the family church. Because when God is ready to uproot you and place you in a different place to bless you, you can't be blessed like how he wants to unless you are obedient. Because sometimes we've got to move from what we are used to what God wants to bring us to. We know it's not comfortable. We know you would like to be over there with all your family members. You would like to be with all your friends. You would like to continue do what you used to do. But when you are a new person in Christ, all things become new. God begin to change you and uproot things out of you. And sometimes you've got to let some people go. Because if you want what God wants for you, you've got to give up everything. Sometimes you've got to sacrifice everything. Sometimes you got to walk away from millions of dollars for your sanity. Sometimes you got to walk away from people that don't mean no good. Sometimes you got to walk away from situations that will cause you to revert back to your old ways. Can I preach like I feel it this morning? Sometimes you got to separate yourself, even for a season, that it's only between you and God, that God can supplant you, God can pour into you, God can uproot things out of you, God can establish you, God can anoint you, God can purge you, God can purify you, God can press you, God can empower you. I know it's not difficult. I know it's hard, I mean. And it's difficult. I know some of these people you grew up with, you love them, but you got to love them enough to walk away. Because it's either you or them. It's either God or them. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross daily and follow me. And so Abraham did this, and even us, no matter who we are and what we have done, we have all made choices that have caused us to be in the predicament that we are right now. Sometimes we make bad choices and suffer the consequence. Yet many of us, and many times God has been good to us and has his grace and mercy upon us, just like the people of Israel. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 15, Joshua, the 24th, verses 15, and if it seems evil to you, this is Joshua speaking to the people of Israel, to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whom land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua placed before the people of Israel, who you going to serve? And now I'm putting it before you as believers, who are you going to serve? Because this is decision-making time. Because at any moment, at any season, at any time, your number can be called. And if you have been listening to the messages over the last few weeks, and pastor and other ministers and us and everyone is speaking the same thing. Get it right. Get it right. We ain't preaching houses and car no more. We're preaching soul winning messages, because at the end of the day, life is too short. Too many people are leaving without Christ because they didn't get the message of the gospel. Or some choose not to receive the message. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is the time for you to make up your mind whether you shall serve him or whether you will not serve him. Because you can leave here today and go home and go to sleep and never wake up. You can walk out this building and there'll be a drive-by shooting and you are caught in it. And it could be the will of God, because God says, I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You don't know when he's going to require your soul. I often tell people, I've never seen when the death angel come in, you tell him to hold up. Let me get it right. Because when he comes, he comes. You can't stop him. And God has already prepared us and told us every person will meet death at some point. But are you prepared to go where you need to go? Where will your soul spend eternity? Will your soul spend eternity in hell, or will it spend eternity with Jesus Christ? Because everybody, a lot of times people have excuses. People are waiting for this person to marry me. People are waiting on this person. People are waiting for that. Oh, let me tell you something. He may never marry you. She may never be with you. That may never happen. You're waiting to give up that, to give up this. But give your life now and let him work it out for you. Because oftentimes they often said, if I could get the cow for the milk for free, why should I even buy it? Stop waiting on situational people. We are all had to come to Christ with our imperfection that he can work in us. God is still working with us. And we as Christians should stop trying to fake the funk like you perfect. You ain't all that. You a mess. You just a saved mess. I'm I'm a saved man. All my good is as filthy rag, says the word of God. God is still working on me. Tell them people that God will meet them where they are. Stop trying to perpetrate because you ain't perfect. The only perfect people that has walked the earth is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. And it's because of us. Because we have this facade and we have all these hookups. We have all these commandments. We have all these rules that do not let people get saved. God ain't studying your clothes. God ain't studying your hat. God is looking at these people's hearts. Because I could come up here and preach in shorts and still be anointed. Let's be real. The anointing works from the inside and reflects the outside. It's not what I wear that makes me anointed. It's not how well I dress that makes me anointed. I can assure you of that. The price you have to pay to be anointed has nothing to do with stuff. It has to do with your prayer life. It has to do with your holiness. It has to do with your consecration. It has to do with you seeking God. So let's start telling people the truth. I am still a mess, but God is working on me. So God will meet your families, your neighbors, your co-workers where they are. Oh, God wants some real people to tell them I'm still struggling and we can pray together so we can help get delivered. God wants some real people that will just get it right and say, you know what? I noticed that you've been going through something. Can I pray with you? Can we pray every Tuesday together? Because I noticed that you're going through some things. Instead of talking about them, instead of persecuting them, instead of lying on them, instead of scandalizing them, instead of doing something, letting the devil use you, instead of letting God use your mouth. And a lot of it, the reason why God can't save some of our family is because you keep talking about somebody else's family. You keep talking about somebody else's son. You keep talking about somebody else's daughter. God wants to save them, but you need to shut your mouth because the Bible said death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Because if you can't be happy for God to save somebody else's son, he won't save your daughter. If you can't be thankful when God delivers your sister, God won't deliver you. Because God ain't impressed with our attitude. God is looking at our hearts. God is looking at our heart. God wants some real people. God tired of these fake so-called Christians. God don't even want Christians no more. He wants disciples. Because everybody's a Christian now. A disciple can't fake the funk. You reflect and represent Christ in every aspect of your life. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You don't cuss people out because you know that God has control over you. You don't belong to you. Christians do any kind of thing. God wants us to be real saints. And it's time for us to understand that we have choices. The choice to forgive and to forget. The choice to be healed or not to be healed. The choice to be bitter or better. The choice to learn from our trials and our tribulation. The choice to walk upright before God. The choice to love or to hate. The choice. What choice will you make? However, no matter what our choices are today, they will ultimately create our future and help to shape our destiny. Because the choices that you make today can affect you later on. You can make the choice to marry the wrong man and never let the Holy Spirit guide you or lead you. And when you marry him, he is wonderful while you are dating him. He is great and awesome. And when you get home after that wedding, after that honeymoon stage is over, he's beating you. You can marry to that woman. She was cooking before you married her. And when after you married her, because you didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, you made a choice on your flesh because she looked good. She shaped good, but she can't cook. She can't biscuit. She can't clean no house. And you mad because you got to do it. You made a choice. The choice of life. I'm trying to bring it in easier for us to break it down. The choice, when we make a choice not to live godly for Christ and our children is looking at us, how do you expect for them to be saved and you full of hell? They are looking at you. The choice that you made to come to church, to be holy at church and be full of hell at home. And they looking at you like, Mommy, Daddy, you were just at church shouting. Now you telling me off, calling me every kind of child other than a child of God. It's what they see they are doing. So your choice of what you do will often shape even your family. If you choose to be a blessing, your generational blessings will flow. If you choose to be a curse, it can flow also down in your generation. It is the choices that we choose as family, children, parents, and everyone that shapes our future. So be careful of our choices. Be careful of what we say in front of our children. Be careful of what we do in front of our family. Because that's why they call you a hypocrite. Because of the behavior, you holy on Sunday, but you want to drink with us on Saturday. Which one is it? Are you saved or not saved? Are you what? You serving Christ or you serving the devil? Or you in the middle? Where are you? People are looking at us because of the choices we made. Choices that are affecting us right now. Health choices. You eating too much food. That's why you in the predicament. Stop it. That's why you always at the hospital. The choices we make to eat healthy or not eat healthy. Your body is the temple. If you don't take care of it, I can't take care of it for you. I can pray all I want to pray if you have diabetes and for it to go down on sugar. But if you keep eating that food, my prayer is only bouncing heaven. So let's be real. Listen to the doctors. We have to be careful of our choices. That's why the word of God said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof leads to death. A lot of the time, we are only making choices according to our flesh, not according to the spirit. We need to pray and ask God for guidance. We need to seek him before we move. We need to ask God, should I or should I not? Because you know what way is ahead. You know what's going on. I remember a few years back, I was had this decision to make concerning a tenant. This was a bad tenant. And let me tell you something. He tried to bring me there. I'm telling you. But because of the decision to release him out of my spirit, God rewarded me with a blessing. Because the enemy wanted me to even burn his car up to get a brick. The enemy told me one Sunday morning, because I knew what car he drove, I passed, because he owed me over $4,000. And the devil told me, drop off the kids, go to Home Depot, get you a brick, and go right. What? I was going to lit that car up, but I had to control my spirit and my flesh and say, that ain't God, that's the devil. Now, I'm telling you, the devil never spoke to you like that. He was loud and he was clear. He even mapped it out. He said, go to Home Depot, get a brick, get gloves, and touch the brick with the gloves so you ain't got to be a witness or whatever. He done already set me up, cleared my hands. That's how good the devil was talking to me. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost. So if he's talking to me, he's talking to you. But I had to let the Spirit of God suppress that demon and let it go. And God bless me. Because we understand that we do move quickly from our spirit man to our flesh real quick. Real quick. But my
my obedience got me blessed. Just like our young people. Young people, I want to give you advice. Listen to me. When your parents is telling you something and guiding you, and you don't listen, if you don't listen to your parents, you're going to have to listen to somebody else. Let me give you some example. When your parents correct you, it's only for your benefit or for your good. Because when you leave their house at 18, as a lot of us want to leave, you're going to have to follow the landlord's rule and the police's rule. So they're preparing you now to follow rules and policies and regulation. And when you are disobedient, you come up with the consequences for your disobedience. Because if you don't follow your parents' rule, one day you will have to follow the police's rule. You free now, you won't be free then. A lot of times, children don't understand why our parents saying and doing what they're doing. It is only for your benefit. I guarantee you, your mother or father will not stray you when they tell you don't do that or do this. Because you know why? They've been there. They know what's going to happen. They know how it's going to unfold. Because if you don't listen to them and be obedient to them, you're going to be obedient to them. And it's only the trick of the enemy to let you think that your parents is against you when they correct you. They love you enough to correct you. They love you enough to care for you, to tell you when you're wrong and not go with your mess. And that's why a lot of our children are in the predicament, because they don't listen to their parents. That's why they're out there messed up, going through what they're going through, because they want to be grown. Growns come with responsibility. Let me tell you, if I could have stayed at my parents' house, I would have. Because when you get a mortgage, you get rent, you get UI, you get water, all these free things you got at your mama's house. Food. You know how much my grocery bill is? Don't let me tell you. It's up to $700. So when your mama or your daddy tell you to clean some bathroom, shut up. Because when you have to do it for yourself, you'll be eating out of can and beans. Be thankful. You got free stuff. You got a room at your mama's house that you ain't got to pay for. You get clothes every so many seasons. You get all this stuff. How dare you be ungrateful? You better stop letting the devil use you before you get messed up. All this free stuff you got going on, you ain't got to work. You ain't got to pay UI. You ain't got to pay the water bill. You ain't got to pay car taxes. You ain't got to pay the gas bill. And then they're the first one who comes through the house. Lights, 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 lights. They brushing their teeth. It's 5 minutes. The whole sink is a mess. Water is running. As they walk in the bathroom, the water is running. Come on now. Y'all know it's the truth. And then they're going to talk back to you any kind of way. You letting the devil use you. You better be thankful. Because let me tell you, I'll give you one of my bills. That's responsibility when you grow up. Don't overdo yourself. Wait your season to leave. Wait your season to be exited. Because when you do it prematurely, you get messed up. And let me tell you something. When Mandy managing, you don't pay them, they'll mess your credit up. Hello? You won't be able to get no more apartment. So stay home and respect your parents. It is a blessing to be at home. Trust me, it is a blessing. I know a lot of time when you get 16 and you get a job, save your money. Save your money. Because a lot of these choices that we're making, you're messing your whole life up. You don't know how good you got it. You have it good, okay? You have it great. Because if your parents really will tell you how many things that they got to take care of, they got to worry about, you would be very surprised. You would be less unthankful, less ungrateful, less unappreciative, less, you would ask for less. Because you would know the struggles of life. That all these things that you have, these amenities that they didn't have, Now every kid got a TV in their room. I remember when we were growing up, you didn't have no TV in your room. You had one TV in the living room. They got TVs, 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 TVs. Every room you walk in, they got a TV. And you know, your house, some people's house have three or four bathrooms. When you were growing up, there only was one bathroom. Now you have your own bathroom. That's a blessing. You are blessed and highly favored. So young people, I'm telling you, be careful of the choices you make. Love your parents. Respect your parents. I just wanted to give y'all that nugget. Let's go back to the word. Deuteronomy 30, 15 and 18. We see the people of Israel were given the opportunity to make a choice between good and evil, the blessings and the cursing, for them to choose to serve God or not to serve God. But the people of Israel chose to serve God. God gave Israel the choices before they can make the decision. He opened up the word to show them that this is what the choices are. It's up to you to make that choice. And they chose life and prosperity. God gave all human beings the ability to make choices. And those choices will lead to either a good consequence or a bad consequence. Two examples that I'm going to talk about in the word of God. An example. One was the bad example. 2 Samuel 11th chapter and 2 Samuel the 12th chapter. All of us probably know the story of King David and Bathsheba, who is Uriah the Hittite's wife. And one day while the king men were all out in war, David decides to walk the rooftop and he sees this beautiful woman. So he calls his assistant or whoever he calls, and they bring this woman to him, and he sleeps with her and impregnate her. Number one, David was the king of Israel. Two, there was nothing that God will not give David. Number three, David knew God's rules, statutes, and commandments. He knew she was married. He knew that if he wanted somebody else, God would have blessed him with. But why did he covenant another man's wife? And not only that, David tried to cover up everything that he could with the sin that he committed. Even though he repented, God still told him, this was going to be your punishment. The child that she will have will die. The first child. Because of his sin created the consequence. Not only that, God said, because of this, because you killed this man of God over this woman, I will also bring a sword in your family. There will always be division among your children. And if you look at the story, even other parts of the story is about David's son, Absalom fighting against his father. David's sons were sleeping with his concubine. All these different things that was already said happened. So you got to be careful of your choice. David made a wrong choice and it created a bad consequence. Now the good choice. This is about our Savior. Jesus knew the price that he had to pay. So when God prepared the body for him to come into this world, Jesus accepted. Jesus made a choice that I am coming to do the Father's will. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to walk away. Even when Jesus was spit on, Jesus didn't give up. Even when he was whipped, he didn't give up. Even when he was persecuted, even when he was lied on, Jesus did not give up. He made the choice to continue to serve God while he was going through. Because he knew without the shedding of the blood, we will not have grace and mercy. We will not have eternal life. We will not have life that more abundantly. But he kept the faith. He kept on going. He made the choice to don't give up. That's why it is the most important decision anyone will make on earth. Hear me. The most important decision you will ever make is whether to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior or not accept him. That will be the most important decision. It's not to buy that house. It's not for that college degree. It's not that. It is to accept salvation. Because whether you will spend eternity with Christ or whether you will spend eternity in eternal damnation? What will be your choice? What will be your choice? The Bible says in Matthew 7 chapter verses 12 through 14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in entry, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be find it. Today I believe as God is opening the word of God for you to find it. To find life. To find prosperity. To find eternal life. The ultimate life that we are living for. Life is about choices. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but not everyone wants to do what it takes to get to heaven. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but not everyone wants to do what it takes to get to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. If you ain't prepared to go there, don't think that you're going there. Because you got to live the life here in order to live the life there. Let me say that again. You got to live the life here to live the life there. Have you prepared your eternal life insurance? Have you prepared your eternal life insurance by accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you given him your life? Have you committed your life totally to him so that when you meet him, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because it would be a shame for us to have been on the word of God and heard all these messages, and he says, depart from me. Because by you coming here and sitting in the pew, you might as well have stayed home. If you ain't going to live saved, if you ain't going to do what the word of God say, if you ain't going to pray and seek God, there's no need to bother coming. Because you are wasting your time. Because God ain't going to ask you, and you're going to say to him, oh, I was at church. It's not churchgoers that get into the kingdom of God. It's those that do the will of God and those that accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Because by you being here, you are not doing pastor a favor. You ain't doing me a favor. You ain't doing us a favor. You just here. You could be here and still ain't here. And that's the problem. People think that we should continue to do the ritual of just going to church and not becoming the church. That's the problem. We don't want to become the church. Because that means that we're going to have to give up our will to submit to his will. We always want control. And when we are submissive to his will, then we'll have to work. Then we'll have to do what God tells us to do in church. We'll have to pick up our plow and begin to work out the gospel. If God called you to usher, then you have to usher. If God called you to preach, you have to preach. If God called you to sing, then you have to sing. That's the problem. People don't want to be committed to nothing. But they want everything, but not committed. A marriage is a commitment between two people. That's why they get the benefits of marriages. I know Discover Card has this principle. Membership have its privileges. And it's true. Membership does. Membership in the kingdom of God has its benefit. When you outside of it, you can't reap the benefits. And all of us, a lot of us, are trying to reap the benefits of something that we haven't put anything in. You can never go to a bank and withdraw when you have never put in. Because they will tell you, do you need us to call security? Because you kind of cuckoo. What? You ain't got no money in here? You trying to withdraw something that you haven't put in. A lot of people are trying to withdraw from the kingdom of God, the biblical principles of God, but you didn't put nothing in. You didn't put no time in. You didn't pray. You didn't seek God. And truly, you didn't really give your life to Christ. You didn't commit yourself to him so that he can put you on the potter's wheel and begin to work on you, like Pastor talked about last week, putting you in the fire and begin to take the impurities out of your life. You didn't let him do that. God really wants to work on you to make you a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. But the only way he can do that is when you submit your will to his will. His will is the word of God. And you've got to submit yourself to him. Living for Christ come at a cost. Living for Christ means that you give up yourself. I guarantee you, if you ask the believers that who have been saved for many years, like the seniors, and how hard they worked in church and did what they did for God, they will tell you that when the best time of their life is when they were serving and doing the things that they used to do. And now that they feel guilty that they can't do it, and they see you sitting down, don't want to do it. Have the ability, have the gifts, have the talent, but want everything from church. You ain't put nothing in, but you want everything from God. You ain't put no time in. God wants you to put your time in. It's time for us as a body to commit and to submit. And that's the only way we're going to truly be blessed. And can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? You can accept him and still lose salvation. Do you know how? Your disobedience. Because the Bible says disobedience is as witchcraft and as iniquity. And God don't deal with witchcraft and iniquity. Anyone that's disobedient will not, cannot enter or will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the word says. I'm not telling you the gospel of Ricardo. I'm telling you the gospel according to the word. So all those who have accepted him and don't want to submit or commit, good luck. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to say, depart from me, I knew you not. Because at the end of the day, when you can't commit to Christ and you won't submit to leadership, that's why a lot of us here ain't blessed, because you don't want to submit to nothing or nobody. You got a vagabond spirit. You go from church, you do anything you want. You come as you want, go as you please. You ain't submitted to nobody. You ain't committed to nobody. You have a disobedient spirit. And anytime you have a disobedient spirit, God won't use you until you submit. And you can't be blessed. God wants each and every believer to reap all the benefits of the word of God. But he will never go against the principle of the word of God. If he says A and B go together, he ain't going to put C in there for you. He loves you, but he won't do it. So we've got to understand the choice that we make now will determine our destiny. How to make right choices. I'm going down to my close. First, write this down. The first thing, how to make right choices is first, Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. Put all your trust in God. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. And he will make your path straight and smooth. He will make your path straight and smooth and remove all obstacles, not some obstacle, all obstacles, and not block your way. If you acknowledge him in all of your ways, he will direct your path. He will remove the crooked path. He will straighten your life. He will remove the stumbling block. He will remove the plan or the enemy to distract you and to destroy you out of your way, because you acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And not only that, to back that scripture up, the Bible says in Psalms 37 and 20, the steps of a good man, and I put women there, man, which refers to male and female in that text, are ordered by the Lord. If you acknowledge him, he will order your steps. He will guide your steps. He will help you and deviate you from that path that you're going if you're going in the wrong direction. So if you give him your life, put all your trust in him. That's the first thing. The second thing is pray and petition. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks always in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and me, for us. That if we should pray in all situations, we should certainly pray in the time of decision making. As we pray, we ask God for wisdom and he will guide us. So pray and ask God. Listen so God can speak to you. The last thing is let the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, guide and lead you. He is like the navigation system that you have in your car or on your phone. And when he says rerouting, that means you have deviated off the course. When he says keep straight, take left, you're on the straight path, on the right path. Exit here, go up there, turn left here. But anytime you hear rerouting or turn around or do a U-turn when it's possible, that means that you've gone off course. And so we have to listen to the Spirit of truth and understand that this truth will help us to understand the reasoning and clarity about any choice we have made. We need to be sure that the path and the course we take, we are on, and realize that there is only one way, and one way God meant for us to go is go through the straight and the narrow path. It is important to start out on the right path, then it's important to stay on the right path. Finally, it is important to end up in the correct and final destination point. Sand. Would you please stand with me?